Sri Ramana bestows his grace. In 1937, T.S. Anantamurthy was a judge working in a remote area of Mysore state when he noticed newspaper articles almost every week on Sri Ramana Maharishi and his teachings. Even in this faraway place, he heard stories from scholars and pilgrims who had visited the sage of Arunachala. Intrigued by what he had read and heard, it wasn't long before he and his wife made arrangements to make a visit to Ramanashramam. This visit is graphically described by Anantamurthy in a biography he published of the Maharishi in 1972. The detailed account of his visit is simple and captivating, taking us into the ashram during those early days when there were few visitors and the sage was easily accessible to all. What is particularly interesting is that Anantamurthy, not knowing Tamil, talked to Bhagavan only in English and also received replies directly from him in English. Soon after his book, Life and Teachings of Sri Ramana Maharishi, was published, the author kindly sent a complimentary copy to our New York City ashram. The following has been taken from chapter 16, titled Sri Ramana Bestows His Grace on the Present Biographer in 1937. With bare feet, my wife and I and a companion entered the hall of the ashram. It was filled with devout men and women who were all squatting on the floor. The hall had two entrance doors and half a dozen large windows. We entered through the door which was just opposite to the sofa on which Sri Ramana Maharishi was found seated. He was quite naked except for the white cotton kaupina or loincloth. His sofa was in the northeastern corner of the hall. There were heavy pillows covered with white cotton covers at the eastern end of the sofa, and the sage was reclining on them with his two legs fully stretched towards the western wall. His large head was held erect and his large eyes were beautiful to look at. The eyeballs were milk white in color. His eyes appeared to be looking at some spot on the opposite wall and his eyelids were not winking at all. Incense and sandal sticks were found burning in his vicinity and there was a pleasing perfume which we smelt. There was an unlighted Petromax lamp hanging from one of the cross beams of the hall. My wife and I felt awe as we stood and looked at the great sage. It was a memorable experience to behold a Mahatma of his eminence. We humbly conveyed our reverence and then sat down. Women devotees were found seated separately, and so my wife sat in their group. I sat down among the men. For about 30 minutes, three or four Brahmins, who were seated at some distance from the sofa, continued to recite verses from Taittiriya Upanishad. In fact, the recitation had started a few minutes before we had entered the hall. Sri Ramana continued to sit in the same posture till it ended. There was no movement of his limbs at all. His eyelids, too, did not move. He seemed to be listening to the recitation of the sacred verses. Though he appeared to be looking at the wall, he was not seeing any particular thing. His mind was, as we could easily realize, absorbed within. I was astonished to see the sage keeping his eyes wide open without winking or moving the eyelid. For such a long period of time. Men and women who sat in the hall belonged to all castes and nationalities. Two or three devotees who sat near me were foreigners, sitting uncomfortably with their trousers. However, all were listening to the recitation with rapt attention. The Brahmins concluded the recitation by chanting, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami, Ritam Vadishyami, Tanma Mavatu, Tat Makaravavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. This recitation was part of the Veda Parayanam, which was a daily function there. Those who recited the verses then stood up and prostrated to the sage and went out of the hall through the more distant door. I was familiar with the verses of Taittiriya Upanishad. The chanting was in the right style and I was thrilled while listening to it. I further felt that Sri Ramana, who sat in front of me in such an engrossed manner, was Brahman in human form, and that spiritual illumination was enshrined in him. He was not only august to look at, but also an inspiring figure. His ascetic garb and his well-chiseled face commanded awe and devotion. When such feelings were passing through my mind, Sri Ramana moved his head and looked around, and while doing so, he looked at me. There was benignity writ large on his broad forehead. There was simplicity and innocence in his movements. He picked up his walking stick and slowly moved out of the hall. I too came out and watched him walking slowly towards the hill on the northern side. The hill was the background of Ramanashramam. A half-naked young attendant carrying water in a kamandalam followed the sage a few yards behind. Sri Ramana was tall and his arms long. His legs had lost their normal strength, and so he carried his heavy body with some effort. His neck wobbled now and then, indicating that the muscles were weak. His age was just 56 years and 3 months, and the hair on his head had turned grey. He and his attendant went away behind a boulder of the hill. The Sarvadhikari of the ashram then approached me and said, No ladies are allowed to stay in the ashram during nights, so your wife cannot stay with you in the guest room. We have a house in town. Some ladies will accompany your wife and will also take care of her. She will be served a night meal there. Our ashram cart will take her and also bring her back in the morning. My wife and some other ladies sat in the ashram cart and in a few minutes left the premises. By that time it had become dark. Kerosene lamps were lighted here and there in the courtyard. It was the night of 31st of March 1937. After the ladies had gone away to town, I was taken into the dining room of the ashram. It was a small tiled building in those distant days. It was situated a few yards to the south of the hall, and it was lighted with some kerosene oil lamps. On going into the dining room, I saw some other visitors sitting on the floor in front of plantain leaves spread along the walls of the room. I too followed their example and sat in front of a leaf. There were no women among the people who sat for the night meal in the ashram. There was a slightly raised brick platform built on one side of the room. On it, a plantain leaf was spread by one of the servants of the ashram. I guessed that it was intended for the use of the sage himself. Within a few minutes, Sri Ramana walked into the dining room from another adjacent room, which then served as a kitchen. He sat in Padmasanam on the platform in order to eat his supper along with the visitors of the day. There was complete informality among the guests assembled there, though every one of us looked at Sri Ramana with profound reverence. Devotees of the sage were serving as voluntary cooks and attendants. Some of them were young and some old. I was delighted to sit and take food, sitting about 5 feet to the right of Sri Ramana on that memorable night. It was His grace that had enabled me and my wife to undertake the pilgrimage. The meal served to everyone was quite simple. It consisted of rice, one vegetable curry, pickle, dal, water, and buttermilk. Sri Ramana ate his meals slowly. He did not leave any remnants of food on his plantain leaf. He did not speak with any one of the guests, though he looked at them. He was wearing only his usual kapina, while the visitors sitting that night before him were wearing shirts and dhotis. The servers were wearing only dhotis and they had no covering on the upper part of their bodies. Dim kerosene oil lamps were found burning in both the small kitchen and in the dining room. The supper was finished within 15 minutes. It was about 7:30 in the night. After the meal was finished, Sri Ramana stood up and walked out into the courtyard and washed his hands and feet with water that had been kept there in a vessel. I followed his example and washed my hands with water taken in a mug from the same big vessel. The other visitors too helped themselves in the same manner and dispersed. Sri Ramana then picked up his stick and slowly walked into the hall. I was eager to talk to him, so I went behind him and entered the hall through the same door which I had used about 2 hours previously. Sri Ramana sat down on the sofa. A bright Petromax lamp was then burning about 20 feet away from him. It illuminated the hall with sufficient brightness. I stood about 3 feet from him. There was no one else in the big hall. In fact, I longed to talk to him when there was nobody with us. The kind of opportunity which I was longing for was thus available to me without any special effort on my part. There was no need to draw his attention towards me. The merciful sage lifted up his face and smiled slightly. He did not utter even one word. He did not also make any other gesture. However, his gentle smile gave me sufficient courage to address him. With folded hands, I said to him as follows, "Sir, I have come from Bangalore. I do not know Tamil. Please permit me to talk in English. I have not been in good health for some months. Dyspeptic troubles are the cause of my physical suffering. Doctors have not been able to cure me. My eyes are always burning and I feel giddy now and then. I have come here to obtain your blessings." Sri Ramana heard these words patiently. He immediately lifted up his serene face once again and replied as follows, "All your troubles will disappear of their own accord." These were the 9 English words uttered by him in his mellow voice. I was filled with delight and gratitude on hearing the words of benediction so readily vouchsafed by the great sage. I prostrated to him and left the hall with my heart filled with joy and relief. I entered the guest's room and slept by the side of another gentleman who had also come to the ashram to obtain darshan of the sage. It was a memorable occasion indeed. My long-cherished desire to obtain darshan of Sri Ramana had thus been fulfilled. In addition to it, about 2 hours after I had set foot in Ramanashramam, All my bodily troubles ceased to torment me as the result of the great blessing which I so readily received from the sage. On the morning of 1st of April 1937, all the women visitors who had been sent into the town arrived in the same bullock cart. My wife also came with them and reported that arrangements at the women's lodge were satisfactory and that she had slept with five or six other ladies who had come from distant places. She and I entered the hall and sat down on the floor after prostrating to Sri Ramana, who was seated on the sofa in a state of samadhi. The hall was more full with devotees than on the previous evening. Some of them were meditating with closed eyes. By then, I had read the small book, Who Am I? And understood the method of vichara described in it. I too closed my eyes and started self-inquiry within my own mind. The hall, though filled with men and women, was free from noise, and peace reigned in the surroundings. I drove away my thoughts as and when they crossed my mind, saying to myself, I am not this, and this thought is not I, and so on. This is the kind of instruction found in that small book. My wife sat among the ladies and meditated in her own way, and I engaged myself for a long time in the kind of meditation described above. More than 1 hour passed away. I then experienced a sense of total blankness. At about 10 a.m., Sri Ramana moved his limbs and sat in Padmasanam on the sofa. Taking advantage of that opportunity, I approached the sofa and addressed Sri Ramana in English thus, Bhagavan, I have till now been conducting self-inquiry as taught in Who Am I? I do not see anything. I see a blank. May I know if Atman is seen as a light or is it a blank? Sri Ramana heard this question put by me. He sat up smartly on his seat and with a serious countenance replied thus, What? Is that a blank? He laid emphasis on the demonstrative pronoun that which he had used in his reply. He did not say anything more. He sat as serenely as before and closed his eyes. I did not have the courage to put any more questions to clear my doubt. To be continued.